Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
There are still some questions about Demas that I think we need to explore a little bit further. We're talking, of course, about the statement of Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 10, where he says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." Now, one question that almost always arises in a situation like this is Demas a Christian? And there are several possibilities. Was Demas a Christian who lost his salvation? Or is Demas a Christian who is now backslidden? Or was Demas a professing Christian who was never truly born again? Now, those are the three possibilities as I see it, and I don't think that all of them are good possibilities at all. But we'll need to explore that a little bit on the broadcast today. So thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, September 14. And many, many thanks to those whose financial gifts enable us to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this and other stations. Well, the statement again is, "Demas has forsaken me," spoken, of course, written, actually, by the Apostle Paul from his prison cell in Rome, writing to Timothy, and he says, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." I think sometimes we maintain a little bit too much curiosity about the condition, the status, I guess I should say, of people who don't measure up to what the Bible says a Christian ought to be. And we seem to want to know whether they are saved or not. But I'm not entirely unhappy with that. I think we ought to question that. We ought to consider these questions, is maybe a better way to put it, because that's good. That helps us to firm up in our minds what the Bible says about salvation. At least it ought to. I don't know that it always does, and that's the problem. Sometimes we try to settle these questions simply by experience and observation and human reasoning without really taking the Bible seriously in regard to these matters. But if questions like this will drive us to the Bible, then they can be good questions. So what about Demas? We know that at one time he gave every appearance of being not only a Christian, but an exemplary one, a Christian worker, a member of Paul's missionary team. He seemed to be a Christian, if there ever was one, type of Christian, if you know what I'm talking about. And yet, here we read, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." So, where does Demas stand now with the Lord? And as I say, some will say, well, he was a Christian, obviously, but he lost his salvation, apparently. And oftentimes I find that people who teach the doctrine, the erroneous doctrine of what is usually called falling from grace, which really I'm convinced is not the proper understanding of that phrase, which is found in the Bible. If you look at that phrase in its context, you will realize that it has a different meaning altogether, but that phrase, falling from grace, or as the Bible says, have fallen from grace, is often taken to mean that a person can be in a state of grace, that is, in a state of salvation, and then can fall away from that state and no longer be in a state of saving grace. In other words, a person can be born again and then can no longer be born again. Now, there are a lot of problems with that position. I don't even hardly know where to begin, but there are a lot of problems with that position. But usually people who take that position, I have experienced, I have observed and have learned by experience, do so primarily on the basis of their own evaluation and their own experiences. And it goes something like this. Well, I knew a person, somebody like Demas, a very, very much a Christian in every appearance, living like a Christian, serving the Lord, seeming to be involved and zealous and fervent in serving the Lord. And so the idea goes, if anybody was ever a genuine Christian, I know that he or she was, but the way they're living now, I couldn't consider them to be a Christian at all. So it's obvious to me that they have lost their salvation. At one time, they were saved. I know they were. How do you know? Because I knew them. I know they were. But I agree that they are obviously not a Christian now, so the conclusion is they lost their salvation. I know they were a Christian at one time. I know they're not a Christian today. So the only answer is they lost their salvation. Well, is that the explanation for Demas? Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica? Well, there are other explanations, of course. And another one is, if Demas was ever saved, he will always be saved. Once saved, always saved. And if Demas is not now living like a Christian, then he's just backslidden. Christians don't lose their salvation, but they do become backslidden. And obviously, Demas was a Christian, and obviously, he's now backslidden, so he's a backslidden Christian. He'll be in heaven, but if he doesn't get back on track and serve the Lord, he's going to lose his rewards, would be the explanation that some would give. But a third explanation, and I think the correct one, is that Demas was evidently never saved to begin with. That, I think, explains Demas and others like him. Now, that seems to disturb people because of what they think they know about them. But I know he was saved, some will say. I knew him personally. If there ever was a Christian, he was. And others will say, well, I know when he made a profession of faith. I was there when he made a decision for Christ. And we know that people who make a decision for Christ are saved and have eternal life and can never lose their salvation. So I know that he was a Christian. And again, based on experience and observation of what we think we see, what we think we know, we who cannot see hearts, we who cannot know the heart, who cannot know people like God knows people, nevertheless think we can make an accurate evaluation based upon what we see. Well, that's the problem. We walk too much by faith, by sight rather, and not by faith. And faith, of course, is believing the Word of God. Now, what does the Word of God have to say about people like Demas? Well, we already examined 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, if these verses mean anything, and I'm not going to take time to go back through them again because I did that a broadcast or two ago. But if these verses mean anything, they make it clear that people like Demas are not saved. If anyone loves the world, The love of the Father is not in him. You can't be a Christian and not love God. And if that's not enough, this makes it very clear in verse 17. The world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. There's a contrast here between two categories of people. Category number one, those who love the world. Category number two, those who do the will of God. And Demas obviously fits into the loving the world category. And he's obviously not one who is doing the will of God. Paul makes that clear in 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. 1 John 2:15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If it's not in him, how can he be saved? And the world is passing away, and the lust or desires of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God has eternal life, not those who love the world. It should be very clear that Demas, at this point, as he is described in 1 Timothy 4:10, is no Christian. He's not merely backslidden. He is no Christian. But now the question is, was he saved and lost it, or was he never saved? And I would submit to you that Demas fits perfectly the kind of person described by Christ in the parable of the sowers in Matthew chapter 13 and also in Mark chapter 4. And I'm reading now from Matthew 13, verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. And then verse 22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now what Christ is describing is a type of person who seems to be saved for a while, but is not. There is a temporary response to the word of God that from all appearances is the same as a genuine response. He receives the word of God with joy. But in time, he falls away. In time, in the one category here, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. In other words, people who love the world more than they love God. People who abandoned their Christian life in order to go back to the world and pursue the things of the world. The world has a stronger attraction to them than Christ, and what does that indicate? That indicates that they were not truly saved. There is a superficial response to the gospel that endures for a while. It doesn't go away in a day or a week or a month necessarily. It can last for months or even years, a few years, but eventually it disappears because it's not real. It's superficial. And so until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.